So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, as you hear, we have the cross mentioned a couple of times in our readings this morning, first in the second reading, with us being baptized into the cross, into the death of Christ. And then, of course, in the gospel, that we're exhorted that we are to take up our cross and follow Jesus, or else we're not worthy of him. That's what he says. He says here, whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So we're being exhorted to embrace the cross. And the cross is at the core of our faith. And, you know, for most of us, I think that is not a very pleasant specter. Because to look at the cross is somewhat of an unpleasant experience when you walk into a church. A Catholic church, at least. Most Protestant churches have removed the corpus or the body of Christ from the cross. It's just a piece of wood. But what you see there is someone suffering tremendously. And if you start to expound it, it's a glaring injustice because an innocent man is losing his life there. Who wants to talk about that? And yet, we as Catholics put that at the core. I mean, no, we don't put it at the core of our faith. It's always been at the core of our faith. It's just a matter of us embracing that and what that means. And the physical suffering, the physical pain, the physical distress, the trauma of that experience, of course, shouldn't really attract us. I don't think any one of us would necessarily want that to happen to us. But what it represents is someone who was willing to embrace that level of offense and trauma as an alternative to offending God. And boy, that's a tall order. I think, on the whole, especially today perhaps, are a little more casual about that. Maybe we're a little less, I'd say, well, we're a little more casual about offending God before we deny ourselves what it is that we want. And that's what looking at the cross can mean. Jesus basically is dying. He's a dead man on the cross. What is he dead to? He's dead to the world completely and totally alive to God in his life. That's what you see on the cross. That's what that is. That is a man in whom you find nothing of the world. Its duplicities, its agendas, its deceptions, its inauthentic paper veneer, a presentation of itself. You find none of that. He's completely dead to it and fully alive to God and his will. And that is at the core of our faith. That's what we're aiming for. And that, I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's something that we're not even capable of doing by ourselves. That's why we need a Savior. It's his work in us, begun by our baptism, that steadily attempts at least to move us in that direction. That's what it's attempting to do. It's attempting to get us to convert. And it's working on us from the inside. Now, I think another thing, you know, then, in light of that, I mean, we have been baptized. This journey has begun for us, whereby we're attempting to gain more of what he is on the cross, totally alive to God's will in our lives, and dead to the world and all that it stands for. That world that Jesus promised us not to fear because he's overcome it. And I think the other thing, though, that is comforting to look at the cross as well is that it contradicts yet another very non-reflective view of God that we have. I think for most of us, we might think of God as away in some remote location, unrelated to us. We don't see him.
We go about our day and we just kind of feel like he's off in some remote location, maybe even in a Barca lounger with a TV clicker, watching a TV, just taking his leisure while we're down here sweating it out, you know? And you really can't look at a cross and for a moment believe that. Because what you find there is the Son of God totally throwing his lot in with us. He is like just thrown himself into our lot. When you look at a cross, he's entered into it, and he's even, without needing to, taken on our death so that he could destroy it. And thereby opening the path for us now to be baptized into his life, which is life eternal. Thank you, Jesus. So he's invested in us. In fact, he is more invested, more intense, more serious, you might say, about getting you into the kingdom than you are. That's what the cross does. That's what it teaches us. When you look at that, he's going to battle for you because he is more serious about getting you into his kingdom than you are, than we are, than the human race is, even. Because going up Calvary, we gave him every reason to say, you know what, I'm done with you people. I am out of here. We gave him every reason to do that. And he never did. That's amazing. He never did. He didn't give in. Sure, he was tempted to. And he could have, but he didn't. Because he was totally alive to the Father's will, which was to save us. And so he did it. He accomplished it. And see, we need to hear that because, you know, he has not only totally invested himself in our daily life, the struggles we have, injustices we suffer, evils we endure, things that so trouble us at work, outside, in the society, whatever you encounter, any kind of trouble you come up against, he's not in a Barca lounger taking his leisure. He's right in there with you. And he's trying to help you get through it. And that's our God. He's wrestling with you. And he's more serious about getting you into the kingdom than you are. That's how invested he is. We learn that from looking at the cross, meditating upon it. And I think the other thing that is rather obvious from the cross when you look at it is all have been invited. The trouble with that, of course, is, I mean, he's got his arms wide open, but see, the trouble with it is he is also the narrow gate. He's the narrow gate. And he did say how hard it is to find that narrow gate and wide is the road that's going the other direction. Because in order to really unite yourself with him does require certain conditions. And one of them he gives us in the gospel, to take up our cross daily and follow him. That is one of the conditions. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. That's one of the conditions for us to stay united with him. And we do fumble at that. We do. I do. I'm pretty sure you do. And in fact, there's a lot of people trying to live Catholicism as though there is no cross. When in truth, it's at the core of Catholicism that's authentic and real. And the saints discover this. Because we are called upon to take up our cross daily, which is our surrender that mirrors his to the Father's will in our life. That we seek to stay the course of his will in our lives instead of offend him or come against him or insist on our way when maybe he's calling us another way. And Like I said, I think most of us have had the experience of falling short in that. We do fail to take up our cross, and we have offended God. And we have the benefit of confession when that happens, because he's kind and merciful. And that's what we need to be able to do, though, is we need to recognize there are conditions for us in order to stay the course of life on high in Christ Jesus. And one of them is that we do take up our cross. And what is that? Well, the cross is tailor-made to your back. Whatever you're bearing doesn't fit my back. But maybe what I'm bearing wouldn't fit yours either. God tailor makes the cross to fit your back. Because to be honest with you, the weaknesses I have are not maybe yours, and whatever weaknesses you have. And the cross is the medicine that he uses to address our weakness. And I need to become responsible for my weaknesses. It would be irresponsible if I'm an alcoholic to go to a bar. I'm overexposing my weakness. You see what I'm saying? And see, that's what the cross is. The cross is medicine for that weakness, and we have alcoholics who are free today from going into a bar when previously they might have been driven by addiction to go in there, and today they are free because of the grace of Christ in their life. The cross has ministered the medicine necessary to set them free from being enslaved. And see, that's true for everything. What is your Achilles heel? We all have one. There's one particular weakness or two, whatever they might be. And the cross has been tailor-made by God to fit your back. And I just want to conclude with a story now about an example of the cross. It's a cross I know I certainly wouldn't have wanted. And the cross is usually of a nature that the kind of suffering we're asked to endure when we suffer the cross is the kind of suffering we don't ask for and we're not in control of. It's the kind of suffering when you get up in the morning, you say, I didn't ask for this. I didn't sign on for this. If I'm running and I'm on a jog and I'm getting hot and tired, I can stop that suffering and go to McDonald's and get a Diet Coke. I'm in control of that suffering. The kind of suffering that we experience sometimes is not something necessarily in our control, but we meet it. I think all of you know what I'm talking about. Those times when you feel like, I didn't sign up for this. What is going on? And there's a lot of speculation. I could get all philosophical, but I won't even go there. What is the cause of that? It's a fallen world. That's one way. But I'll leave that to you to meditate on. But it happens to us. I didn't sign on for this. And sometimes you even feel like saying, you know what? I'm out of here. I didn't sign up for this. And maybe we quit or we drop out or we're done, and because life can get hard. And I want to tell you a story about Fred Donahue. I did not know something about Fred while he was alive. Fred was actually a victim soul. The only way you find out who is a victim soul is when our Lord lets you know. And it was at his funeral that our Lord revealed to me Fred was a victim soul. A victim soul is someone who makes up in the church for what is lacking in the suffering of Christ. What's lacking in the suffering of Christ?
Well, at the funeral of Fred, I found out Fred was making up for all the times I refused to take up my cross and follow Jesus.
Jesus, I really honestly, and I'm not one to cry, but I broke down and cried at that funeral. I'm not one to cry, but I did that. When that came through, and I knew, because the Monsignor that was having the Mass went to the mother of Fred and said to him, "You know, Norma, Fred had a cross neither you or I could bear." And it was true. He was a good, energetic, normal developed boy until 12 years old. He contracted a disease that slowly made all his muscles atrophy, so that he steadily began to lose his ability to walk. He steadily began to lose control of his facial muscles, and he would just drool. Every time I saw him, he was drooling. He had to go in a wheelchair. Only thing he'd move was his fingers to push the wheelchair around. And he couldn't talk, but you could see those eyes were lit up. And he knew what you were saying when you talked to him. It's just that he couldn't talk back. That was Fred. He died about 25 years later, living like that, drooling. And the last time I saw him was at a Sam's Club. And when I saw him, everybody kept their distance. And I thought of Christ. In him, we saw nothing that would attract us. And that was Fred. And yet, Fred was a victim's soul given to the church by Christ. What does that mean? It means, for the sake of those of us who refuse to take up our cross, Jesus invites some among us to take up a greater share of the responsibility of bearing the cross. So that what is lacking in the suffering of Christ in this generation will be made up for. That was Fred. And I knew I was in his circle of redemption. And I benefited from him. And I only knew it at his funeral. The faith in any given generation is only sustained by us and the degree to which we're willing to take the responsibility of carrying our share of the burden of that faith within any given generation. That's our responsibility today. That's on us. And some days I fail at that, taking up my share of that burden. And maybe you do too. Fortunately for us, God still has our back by saddling some of his more trusted servants with a greater share of that burden, like Fred. But I took that and I ran with it and said, you know what, I want to try at least to start doing better with carrying my share of the burden. And that's what I want to pass on to you today, is invite you to do the same so that the faith can thrive in this generation and grow, and men and women will benefit from it and come and maybe find some shade in the beauty of your faith, some refreshment in the shade from the sun that you would give by growing the faith in your own heart and taking up your share of responsibility for sustaining faith in this generation. So my brothers and sisters, he is not in a barca lounger when it comes to that task. He has thrown himself into it. not just to save you as an individual, but we're in this together. And thank God, because it includes people like Fred, and we don't know who they are unless Jesus tells us. But let's get in there, and let's do our part.